This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
Okay, we're joined today by Professor Vic Dillon from the University of Sheffield. Welcome to the Jodcast.
Hello.
And you've been talking to us today about high-speed astronomy.
Yes, I've just given a seminar here about my research interests, which revolve around, you know, the study of variability in the night sky, but at high speeds, so things which vary on timescales of milliseconds to seconds.
Right, so that's a lot quicker than we'd normally be imagining, say, amateur astronomers or even professional astronomers are usually looking over.
That's right.
That's right, exactly.
We're at the kind of very fast end. I mean, there isn't much in the universe stellar size which is believed to vary on timescales faster than a millisecond. So that's our upper cutoff, our lower cutoff. So we're in this regime between the fast cutoff of 1 millisecond and a few seconds, slower than that, and you can do that with conventional instruments that you find at every telescope. So we've had to build special instruments to be able to go at the fast end.
Right, so you've built a particular instrument. It's called UltraCam, I think.
Yeah, and there's an associated one called UltraSpec. So we have these two instruments that we run, which one takes images of the night sky. It's basically a fast camera,
right,
like a movie camera, and the other splits that light up into its component wavelengths and takes spectra at fast speeds, at high speeds.
I guess taking pictures so quickly for astronomy purposes, you need some very advanced technology for that.
Yes. I mean, everyone will be familiar with the cameras in your mobile phones and digital cameras, and they can take movies, and you know, that's 50 frames a second or, you know, faster even. But if you try turning that to the night sky, that camera in your mobile phone to the night sky and taking a movie, you'll quickly see that all you see is noise. It's like when the channel turns off at the end of the night on the TV screen, it's snow. And that's a problem with that kind of detector. If you want to run it fast, you pay a penalty with high noise. Mm. And so the name of the game is to run detectors fast, but have very low noise. So then you can actually then start to detect individual photons. So that's the ultimate aim. That's what we try to do.
So what do you do with the technology to make it so sensitive?
So there's a number of things. We use a type of detector called a CCD, a charge coupled device. People might be familiar with those in very high end digital cameras. You get CCDs, and we use very high quality ones. We use them cold, which reduces the noise.
So is that cooling it down with nitrogen? Or?
No, we don't need to go that far. We use a Peltier cooler, a solid-state kind of cooler, which takes it down to about minus 40 degrees centigrade. And we also have custom-built electronics, which is very low noise and very fast, which enables us to take the data off the detector and put it onto our computer hard disk very quickly. So a combination of use high-quality detectors, dedicated custom-built electronics enables us to go fast.
Right. So I guess from that, the half the problem is that for doing high-speed things is that not only do you have to expose the CCD camera to the sky, you've also got to take the data off the CCD camera.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. There's two things. Yeah. You've got to shift the data off the chip and then get it into the correct format to put it onto your hard disk.
Right. And when it's being taken off, it can't be exposing at the same time.
Well, that's the trick, actually, because we use this type of device called a frame transfer CCD, which basically has like a buffer. And this is like a storage area in which you take an image, shift it very quickly into this buffer. That takes of order a millisecond, so that's very fast. And then while that buffer's dealing with getting rid of the data and putting it onto your hard disk, you're exposing away your next image. So you can very quickly then accumulate data without any gaps between the data frames. And using various other tricks, we can get down to one image every few milliseconds. So that we use these frame transfer devices.
Right. So now that you've got this millisecond exposures on the sky and you can keep taking pictures every millisecond, what sort of objects are there that are varying so quickly? Because, I mean, think of things that suddenly appear in the sky like supernova, but usually things tend to vary quite slowly, like variable stars take days or hours to vary. So what sort of objects are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, roughly speaking, if the things which are very fast are the things which are small, and the smallest stellar-sized objects there are out there are white dwarfs, which are the size of the Earth, neutron stars, which are the size of a city, and black holes, which are, again, you know, same size as a neutron star, size of a city also. That's certainly the event horizons that size, a few kilometers. brown dwarfs as well, which are about the size of Jupiter. So that it's that kind of object that that we study, because they're the things that vary at these high speeds, and they vary in a number of different ways. They can explode, they can flare, they can pulsate, they can accrete material, they can be eclipsed. There's a number of different ways they can vary, and each by studying this variability in its different forms, we can learn about the object. So to give you one example, we can look at the eclipse of a white dwarf, as I said, the size of the Earth. If it's in a binary system, and the binary system is edge on to our line of sight, the companion star to this white dwarf will eclipse it once every orbital period. And the eclipse of a white dwarf, because it's so small, will happen in a matter of tens of seconds. It'll all be over. The eclipse will start and it'll be over in about 30 seconds time. And the time it takes to eclipse that star is the time it took for the companion to cross its face. So it gives you an idea of how big it is. So it's one of the ways in which we can work out the sizes of these very small objects. We can work out how big they are from how long it takes to eclipse them. So that's just one example of why high speed is important.
And I guess you're going to have really high data rates as well if you're collecting lots of frames.
Yeah, we do. Although it's surprisingly not as, they're not the highest data rates that you see in astronomy. They're typically a few megabytes a second that we get. So there's plenty of projects out there which are kind of accrue more than that. So yeah, it's more than handleable.
Right.
Yeah.
And earlier you talked about there being two instruments, as UltraCam and UltraSpec. So UltraSpec, are you doing similar types of observations?
Yes. Well, UltraSpec is slightly different because it takes spectra. So there you take the light from the star and you split up into its component wavelengths. And by doing that, you take the same amount of light which you previously had concentrated into a nice focused spot on your detector. You spread it out into a line which runs all the way across your detector. And it's the same amount of light. And so what happens is each pixel in your detector has much less light in it, and therefore the noise in your detector becomes much more important, has a much bigger effect, because you spread the light over so many more pixels. So to do spectroscopy, you need to have low noise detectors. And on top of that, if you want to go fast spectroscopy, where you've got very little light falling in each exposure, then that really makes the problem bad if you've got high detector noise. So the trick there is to try and find a detector which has no detector noise, and then you've got some hope of actually being able to do fast spectroscopy.
Are these instruments working on telescopes right now?
So yeah, they're private instruments. So we operate very differently to the average astronomer. The average astronomer will go to the telescope and use the instruments provided by the observatory. They arrive the night before their observations start and they leave the next morning, and they don't have to worry about anything else. With us, it's our own instrument, because the observatory don't provide specialist equipment like this. So we ship everything out to the observatory. With us two, we use the instrument on the 8-meter very large telescope in Chile and the 4-meter William Herschel telescope on La Palma in the Canary Islands. So we ship the instrument backwards and forwards, basically, between Chile, La Palma and Sheffield. We have it back in Sheffield to work on it, enhance it and maintain it. We have to get to the telescope about a week before our time starts, set everything up, then we carry out our observations. We're typically given blocks of 2 or 3 weeks, and at the end we have to pack everything away and ship it back. So that's how we operate.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is quite fun. We use these kind of rock band crates, black ones with these kind of aluminium strips around, which funnily enough, we were recommended by an ex-roadie who worked in our department in physics, and he said, you need one of these if you want to look after your kit, because that's where we put all our million-pound mixing desks in when we're on the road, and it'll look after your instrument just as well, you know. So we took his advice for it, and it was excellent advice. Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with UltraSpec and UltraCam for the future, and if you have any exciting results, we hope you come back and tell us about them.
I sure will. Thank you very much.